With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, some people would say that we are living in a golden age of television where there are endless brilliant TV shows on streaming services and traditional telly. So naturally, it's really easy to miss out on something truly great because we didn't have a huge buzz around it. With that in mind, I thought we'd talk to an expert on stuff that's brilliant but passed us by. We've got Deirdre Malumbi, is a culture and entertainment journalist, and she joins me now. Deirdre, how's it going?
Good morning.
We kind of just shoved you in there, I'm sorry. You're like, which chair? And I was like, we're going live. Whichever one you feel like. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
I'm so excited about this because only last night I ran out of my bank of TV shows that we've been watching.
Your kind of watch list.
Yeah. So like everything's up to date, or we finished everything that we were rerunning with again. So it turns into nearly a mini argument. Like everyone starts getting a bit ratty in the house going like, I don't know what to watch. I don't want to watch that. What are we going to watch? So this is very much up my street right now. But before we get into that, can I ask, because obviously there's so many TV shows, mm-hmm. and like, why do you think that some big production shows have all the right ingredients but they just don't hit it off and they just don't get those big audiences?
I think it is kind of like you said, there's just so many choices now. We're getting something of an average of like 3 new TV shows a week. So if you can imagine all of that content, like, yeah, how much it adds up. And I think as well, there's the fact that there are so many streaming services available now, and people won't necessarily be subscribed to all of them. So you've got like your kind of Netflix is usually the go-to in every household, but you've got, you know, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, Apple TV, Prime Video. They just go on and on. Yeah, yeah. There's the RT Player, Channel 4 Player, TG Carr Player, these all offer their own kind of shows and movies as well. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of there's just too many choices, too many options. And in fairness now, some of the shows I will be talking about today, they have proven big hits over in the US, but for whatever reason, they haven't like quite struck a chord among like Irish and UK audiences. Like for me, when it comes to deciding what shows to watch, I do kind of go for the reviews. So I see when something is kind of critically acclaimed, even if it is over in the US, I'm like, oh, I might, you know, this one is worth checking out. Whereas if it's getting rubbishy reviews, I'm like, I'm sorry, I cannot waste my time on this. I've only got so many hours in the day.
But also, you generally in the evening, you have 1-2 episodes max of something that you're going to sit and chill for. And it's nothing annoys me more when I've committed to something that is so crap. I feel like I can't sleep properly. Like I haven't unwinded and relaxed a little bit. It is like, okay, if, you know, big production companies are going into a 10-part series and committing to it, like that is a very expensive risk to take if they don't think it's going to pay off.
Yeah, that's just it. And I mean, we have gotten examples of shows kind of in recent history, even I suppose like the Lord of the Rings series that went to Prime Video, Rings of Power. Like that's an example that comes to mind. Although that did end up getting kind of enough viewership figures to spark off a second season. So yeah, I think that like studios have to become like very selective with exactly what they're kind of ascribing their budgets to. And I think that the kind of main impact of that is what we see is a lot of series are kind of cut short. So you might kind of get into season one of a show and then Netflix cancels it or something like that. Yeah. So it's kind of, it's very difficult that way. Another kind of go-to I often use, and I wish that more kind of streaming services use this, would be like looking at the top 10 in Netflix or whatever, because then you have a better chance of being a part of that water cooler conversation, because it's a show that everybody else is watching. Like Baby Reindeer, for example, I'm pretty sure it's still hanging on there in the top 10. Like that was number one on Netflix in Ireland and the UK and in other regions as well for weeks and weeks and weeks. So I was like, okay, a lot of people are watching the show, probably should get around to it by
probably
now.
I think I'm the only person on the planet who hasn't watched it, because I think it's a little bit too much for me, but by osmosis I've consumed enough of it so I can now laugh at the jokes. I'm fully on board with all the TikToks that are going around about it. You were speaking about water coolers there, but do you think that like, because everybody's watching so many different streaming platforms and they're watching different shows at different times, is there an element of like, okay, don't spoil that on me, I don't want to know about it, so we're not really talking about it as much? Like, I know I can't keep my mouth shut though whenever I find a show that I love.
Yeah, it's really hard because you kind of want to be able to talk about this show and really kind of, you know, relate it to somebody else and kind of have that back and forth conversation. What I kind of do with my recommendations and kind of what some of the shows that I've picked today, I've been like, if you like this, you'll like that. So like, for example, with my friends, we can all agree on, we love a good costume drama. Yeah. So the likes of Pride and Prejudice and stuff like that. Exactly. Bridgerton and everything. Yeah. So if I find a show along those ranges, what I'll be like is, watch this, guys, you will absolutely love it. And I try not to like overburden them with too many recommendations, which is obviously hard for me because I've watched so many shows and I just want everybody to watch them all so I have someone to talk to them about. But that's how I'll kind of get someone into something, is like, but if you enjoyed this, then you'll like this.
You need a hook.
Exactly.
Like a proper journalist. For everything you have to do.
Thank you. I feel very professional right now.
Well, Deirdre, let's get straight into it, because I'm dying to know. As I said, I'm at the end of my tether of what I'm watching, so I need some new TV shows. So what have we got first?
Okay, so I've picked this show, Yellow Jackets. Now, seasons 1 and 2 of this are available on Paramount Plus, but season 1 is available on the streaming service Now. I actually ended up watching season 1 on Now, and I subscribed to Paramount Plus so I could watch season 2. So that is how good
this show
is. That's
a very good
sign. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a blend of horror, mystery, and thriller. It has very kind of vibes of like Lord of the Flies or something like that. But essentially, it follows the members of a high school football team who, in the mid-90s, they're forced to fight for survival after a plane they're traveling on crashes into the wilderness. So we kind of flash kind of back and forth between the girls when they're in high school and then when they're when they've grown up as women 25 years later, and how they're still kind of, you know, struggling with trauma and the repercussions of what they did in the wilderness. And it very slowly kind of teases out exactly what happened when they were in that forest. So it's just absolutely tantalizing. It is so kind of addictive watching like what happened in this show. It's a great cast as well. Melanie Lynskey, who people might recognize from The Last of Us, is in this. Ella Purnell, Christina Ricci, which I find is such a throwback.
Oh, wow.
I'll always associate her with Casper.
Forever.
I've seen her in so many other you know, shows and movies since. Juliette Lewis. This is just, it's such an addictive series. It's so, so good.
Okay, so that's Yellow Jackets. Mm-hmm. It kind of nearly sounds like with the plane, it's a bit like Lost.
Like, yeah, a bit like Lost, a bit like Alive, in that like there are kind of implications. Did cannibalism happen here? But I don't want to like give away any spoilers either. Okay. Just watch it. It is so addictive.
Okay, what have we got next?
I have picked The Buccaneers. Now, the reason I've picked this is because everyone is talking about Bridgerton at the moment. We're getting new episodes, I think this week, actually,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. So this is kind of Apple TV Plus's answer to Bridgerton. It gives you all your period drama needs. You've got your beautiful costumes and settings. You've got your romance. You've got your drama. And there is a fabulous contemporary pop soundtrack. So whereas Bridgerton kind of uses modern songs to kind of orchestral music, this really does use like contemporary pop, which I think is quite effectively done. It is set in the 1870s and follows a group of young women who are best of friends. They're all very enthusiastic. They're ambitious. They're fun loving. And they're very, very American, which is quite funny when they come over to London. And you know, the
stiff
kind
upper
of,
lip.
Exactly. They're a bit like, oh, I don't know how we're going to handle these girls. But they're determined to find good husbands as well as impressive titles. And one thing I absolutely love about this show as well is, you know, in previous examples of the genre, you look at your Jane Austen adaptations or whatever, usually marriage provides the happy ending. But in this show, it shows that sometimes marriage is only the beginning and sometimes it's the start of a very troubled journey.
I loved this.
Yes.
And I also described it to my friends as like the American Bridgerton.
Yeah, it's
a
very
nice little
that.
Like, you know, taster, especially right now if you're waiting on those episodes and you need something else to binge. That's right up there. That's on Apple TV Plus. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. That's 10 out of 10 for that one. What else are we going with?
I have picked Boiling Point. This you can actually watch on the RTÉ player. So if you like the show The Bear, which I think is really the cream of the crop when it comes to that kind of kitchen set and sometimes stress-inducing, if I may admit it, TV drama, The Bear on Disney Plus is going to be your go-to. But Boiling Point on RTÉ player, I have to say, is the next kind of worthy offering in that kind of arena. Now, the interesting thing about this series is it is actually a follow-up to this 2021 film of the same name, and it takes place 6 months after it. I didn't actually watch the film before watching the series, and I don't think you need to see the movie. The only thing that kind of took me out of it was as I was watching the Boiling Point series, I noticed that Stephen Graham's character was kind of on almost like a self-inflicted house arrest as a result of some kind of alcoholic outburst. So I got that something like that had happened. But aside from that, it drops you so much into the action and with these characters. I don't think you necessarily need to have seen the movie to enjoy the series.
If you needed something else to watch,
that's true.
Might be a good starting
that's
point.
That's true. It's a good starting point.
Start that in the weekend and then get into Boiling Point from
exactly.
Monday morning.
And the other handy thing about Boiling Point is it's only 4 episodes long. So very quick and easy to get through. And it just delivers everything in terms of drama. Really good kind of characters written there. And again, over 4 episodes, everyone kind of gets their chance to shine in the spotlight and everything. So we're following this restaurant as it's being kind of run day to day, and the various members of the staff as they go through struggles, the highs and lows of work. And yeah, just a very stressful kitchen, but also there's a lot of fun and laughter had as well.
I feel like you're stressed out. Anything that's set in the kitchen though stresses everybody out.
Yeah, that's here. Just it. This is why I don't cook.
It's the environment, exactly. Okay, so that is on RT Player. What else have we got?
I've picked Black Cake. So this is on Disney Plus. Now, I've kind of described it as, if you like This Is Us, watch it. But I mean, Black Cake is a bit more kind of like murder mystery-esque, without kind of giving too much away. But basically, we follow a bride who is being forced into an unwanted marriage. She flees for her life on her wedding day.
Oh my God, sign me up. Yeah. That first line. It's like, runaway bride, I'm here for it. Yeah.
And then many years later, after her death, she basically reveals to her children the many secrets that she has kept from them all her life through a series of recordings. So we kind of flash again, kind of backwards and forwards. We see her life gradually unfold, and then we follow her children as they're listening to these recordings and finding out all these things about their mum that they never knew. Mia Isaac plays the young bride, Covey. She's absolutely fantastic in this. I just find this series just so, it's beautiful to watch. Like, it looks stunning, but it's also very sharp. It's full of passion and emotion. It tackles some big issues such as race, gender, abuse and grief. And I just find it really powerful. And again, just that addictive quality that I have to watch the next episode. I have to find out what happens next. And this one is on Disney Plus for anyone who
stunning.
Wants to watch it.
That's Black Cake. That's definitely going on my list next. Out of everything you've done so far, I'm like, yeah, yeah. No, highlight that one there. Okay, we're going to Apple TV next.
Yeah, Apple TV. So I have picked the series Shrinking. This is one, if you liked Ted Lasso or even the show Scrubs, remember from
Dream.
A few years back? Yeah, yeah. So this is the latest from Bill Lawrence, who was behind both of those series. So I think that kind of showrunner, he's really associated with alternating between these big laugh out loud moments and then like touching moments that are probably going to make you cry. So this show delivers on exactly that, if that's what you are looking for. So we follow this therapist who is also a single dad, and he's in mourning, and he kind of decides to break the rules essentially and start telling his clients what he really actually thinks, gets more involved in their lives than he probably should have, while also kind of navigating the terrain of now like raising his slightly rebellious teenage daughter on his own now. Star Wars fans might be happy to hear Harrison Ford co-stars in this. And yes, he does have a gruff and cynical personality, which he naturally would. But he co-stars as Jason Segel, who kind of plays the main character, his like colleague, who's like a slightly more a senior therapist and colleague. So a lot of fun to be had in this show as well. And yeah, I realized that I'd kind of put in a lot of dramas in here. I thought that it would be important to put in a comedy as well. So that's for if you're looking for your next kind of laugh out loud, but like I said, alternately kind of emotional and moving type of series.
Kind of has it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we love this one. Okay, we are sticking with Apple TV, and the next show you have is one that I binged in our piece, Physical.
Yeah, this is fabulous. This is a good one if you liked the show Glow on Netflix. Rose Byrne really gets to show off her acting chops in this series. People might recognize her from movies like Bridesmaids and Neighbours. She plays this bored housewife who is kind of suffering with this vicious inner critic, so you kind of hear that voice and voiceover narrating. And she also suffers with an eating disorder, but basically she discovers aerobics and it completely changes her life. So this kind of has a like 80s setting, so everything about it is very much of that aesthetic, which is a lot of fun. But she goes from kind of attending an aerobics class to eventually running one, to kind of starting to get these ambitions to build a whole aerobics empire. So there are three seasons of this now. So the show is actually finished and they're all streaming on Apple TV Plus now. And what I love is new girl Zoe Deschanel actually joins in for season three. She plays like a competing aerobics instructor and TV star in that third season. Craig Gillespie, interestingly enough, people might remember him as the director of I, Tonya. He directs the pilot episode. And if you liked I, Tonya, I think you'll also like this, because they both have that similar kind of dark sense of humor and also like that high stylization, you know, just to look at it, it looks absolutely stunning and it's edited in a particularly interesting way.
It's very captivating from the very first episode, but the inner dialogue that she goes through, they do it so well. Mm-hmm. You know, the inside and the outside and what's going on in her head versus what's coming out of her mouth. And I absolutely adore that one. It was brilliant. Okay, next one, we're going to Now TV and The Sympathizer. What's this?
So this
I've never even heard of this.
This is quite a new one, and I suppose it's kind of like Full Metal Jacket-esque, that kind of Vietnam War black comedy drama series. The protagonist of this is a police captain in Saigon who is secretly a communist spy for the North. He has to flee to the United States with his general near the end of the Vietnam War, but he's continuing to work as a double agent. So it's kind of that espionage, but it has like a dark sense of humor as well. One major draw of this for me was Robert Downey Jr. is absolutely incredible in this. If you didn't think that he earned last year's Oscar, watch this, and he does really show how he is one of the great actors of our time, because he actually plays a multiple of roles in this series. In fact, in one scene, he's actually sitting to dinner and playing opposite all of him. It was very surreal. It was kind of an Eddie Murphy, you know, what movie does he
Big
play
Mama.
Like? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's playing all the different roles, and it's like, this is kind of crazy, but it's done so well. But each of those roles are kind of almost antagonists to our lead. He's particularly good as a CIA agent who mentors the captain, and also this auteur filmmaker who's very kind of over the top, very impassioned about his art, very Francis Ford Coppola-esque role. Now, it can be quite a dense series, but I did find it really impressive, really funny, and very thought-provoking as well.
Oh my God, sorry, you caught me with so many different things there. I just need to watch the scene of Robert Downey Jr. Like, sign me up. Okay, back to the RT player. This is going to hurt.
Yeah, this is a good point. If you watched One Day, which was kind of this big Netflix romance, you know, when it takes one day and then it jumps a few years and then it jumps a few years, very tearjerker.
Yeah.
Very tearjerker. It actually
I have seen people cry for that have never shown any bit of emotion in their life.
Yeah, it kind of traumatized me a bit, to be honest. Like, by the end episode, I was like, forget this. Like, love isn't real. I just don't care anymore. But this is going to hurt. Very different kind of vibe. But the lead actress in One Day, Ambika Maud, she plays in both One Day and in this series here. This is a medical comedy drama, which actually got really good positive reviews at the time it was released. Ambika Maud plays opposite Ben Whishaw on this, and they both play doctors who are working on a gynae ward in an NHS hospital. So they're both dealing with kind of these really stressful situations, and they're both kind of starting to crumble. None of their accomplishments and working with these limited resources go recognized. So I think that it's really interesting in that it has a very matter of fact approach. It's quite emotional in its impact, but the comedy doesn't go neglect either. Like, there's some very, very funny laugh out loud moments in this, and it just feels very authentic and real. Like, you really could imagine this like happening in real life and these kind of personalities coming out of it, and just the characters and some of their stories that these two doctors come across would break your heart, and you're like, these are the kind of situations that people are dealing with on an everyday basis, trying to kind of navigate through this very difficult healthcare system. So I just found it a really, really powerful show. And I think it's about 7 hour long episodes, and that's on RT Player now.
Okay, fantastic. Right, we are nearly there, but we still, you've honestly given me so many. I'm already like ticking off where I'm going to start.
I've provided people with shows to like last until the end of the year.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah. This is exactly what we need. We need a list to check off and go from there. Okay, the next one that we've got is Apple TV Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah, I've ended up going for whatever reason, a lot of Apple TV Plus shows. I think that it's actually like a really good streaming service because it's so kind of selective with the shows that it picks that it ends up getting some real gems in there. This is a good one for, I suppose, if you like the show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, it kind of reminded me of that. You've got your 1950s setting, and it follows Elizabeth Zott, played by Brie Larson. And I have to say, this could be the best performance of Brie Larson's career, aside from maybe her Oscar winning turn in Room, but I really, really did believe her as Elizabeth Zott in all her like kind of quirky and craziness and kind of subhuman robotic like expressions sometimes.
That's actually a perfect way to describe her. Yeah. That like subhuman, like she really nailed that. Yeah, it was excellent.
It was so well done. But she dreams of being a scientist, but unfortunately her dreams are put on hold in this kind of very patriarchal society of the 1950s. But she does find that her talents as a scientist end up translating to cooking, and she ends up landing a job hosting a TV cooking show called Supper at Six, which ends up inspiring kind of housewives all around the country as they watched it. It's based on a best-selling book of the same name. It's a real crowd pleaser. It'll make you laugh and cry. I actually ended up watching this on my mum's recommendation, and we both enjoyed it immensely. So this is definitely a good like mum and daughter kind of watch of a show.
Yeah. We need those as well, because there are so many times where you sit down to the telly with like your parents in the room, you're going, oh no, I actually can't watch this. Yeah. We We need to find something else that this is safe across the board. Yes. Okay, and finally, we are going to Now TV and you've got Dark Winds. What's this about?
Yeah, so this is kind of a cop drama show. Season one is available on Now currently. I do think it has a second season, but I couldn't see where else it was streaming. But I'd imagine they'll bring season two to Now eventually. But this is a really great show. And I'm usually not that into cop dramas, so I think that that kind of shows that the show is worth watching. So we're following two Navajo police officers working in the 1970s Southwest who are forced to challenge their own spiritual beliefs as they're kind of investigating this double murder case. The writer's room behind Dark Winds is all Native American, so the show is like really, really authentic. And the show was actually shot in numerous locations in the Navajo Nation. I actually ended up watching this quite close to you know, the Martin Scorsese movie Killers of the Flower Moon, so they could almost kind of, you know, like work as like a double study. You could almost watch them together. It's a really like emotive and captivating series. It's a really powerful representation of the Native American people who are so rarely front and center in film and TV, but as well, like I said, just if you even like cop dramas in general and a really good like murder mystery, I think that this will get you kind of really immersed if they're the kind of shows you enjoy watching.
Yeah, I have watched so many cop dramas. I know you're like, I'm not into them. I'm like hook them to me. Yes. Like, I'm out of them at this point. So this is definitely a great place to start. Deirdre, thanks a million for coming in today. That has saved us a lot of time. We're scrambling around looking for a new show. I think everybody now, as you said, has got a list from now until the end of the year. That was culture and entertainment journalist Deirdre Malumbi.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.